Now, today I want to draw your attention to the second of the gifts that the Lord has given to his church that are listed here in this verse number 11. It is the gift of the office of prophet. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Now you remember the context in which we've been looking at this chapter and at this verse. The Lord here, Paul is emphasizing that the Lord has placed every believer within his body. And he gives to every believer a particular function and a particular purpose for the betterment, for the profit and the benefit of the body of Christ. And so Paul is illustrating that. He's emphasizing that particular truth now by using the ministry that the Lord has given. Here he gives the illustration of apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And he's saying that the Lord has given men certain abilities, certain tasks, certain functions, certain gifts in order to benefit the church of Jesus Christ. He's emphasizing this now in the context that the Lord has given every believer. That means you. That means you as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a member of Christ's body, and you are not a purposeless member of that body. The Lord has placed you in his body, in the body of Christ, for a purpose. And to emphasize that now, he's using this illustration. He says, look, there's apostles. They're not all apostles, but some were given as apostles to serve the body of Christ. And now he emphasizes that of the prophet. And we want to look at the prophet today. We're really taking it here a little bit out of the setting. And we want to zoom in upon this gift that the Lord has given to his church. The gift of the prophet. And that's very interesting. It's very important. It's very instructive. And it indicates to us something concerning the Lord. The Lord has given prophets. Why did he give prophets? What is a prophet? What is their purpose? Well, if you look here at this passage in this verse, you'll see that prophets are very closely associated with the apostles. Come back to chapter 3 and verse number 2. He says there in that verse concerning this revelation of the mystery that had been given to him. In verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. I want you to see the prophets are set alongside the apostles. It's the case, the same in verse number 20 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Notice how the prophets are set alongside the apostles. Now you remember the last time we were thinking about the apostles. The office of the apostle. It was not permanent. It was not intended to continue in the church perpetually. It was there only for a certain period of time. The apostles have no succession. There is no apostolic succession in that sense. It ceased when the apostles died. They were called by Christ directly, and they were given to be witnesses, eyewitnesses of his resurrection. And therefore, by way of their very nature, by way of their qualification, the office ceases once those men died. Well, the prophets are associated with the apostles. And right away that would suggest to us that their ministry likewise was not intended to be perpetual in the church. It is closely associated with the temporary office of the apostle, which would suggest very strongly that the office of prophet was also temporary. Well, is that the case? That's the question. Does it continue? Are there prophets today? In the sense in which Paul is referring to them here in this letter to the Ephesians. Well, we've got to search the scripture in order to answer that question. And to search the scripture, what we have to do is ask this question. We've got to ask the question, what was the function and the purpose? What was the role of the prophet? Well, it's revealed in both the Old and the New Testament scriptures. Prophets are referred to in both parts of the Bible, and their characteristics are the same. I want us just to take a little tour, as it were, through the scripture and gather together the characteristics of a prophet. Somebody asks you, what was a prophet? Here Paul is saying, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Well, what was a prophet? We know what an apostle was. What was a prophet? Why are the prophets so important? What was their function? What was their role? What was their purpose? Well, let's gather together the scripture evidence. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, here's a verse that you can underline, the very first verse of this chapter. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. And it's emphasizing that the prophets were spokesmen sent by God to speak to the people. They were the spokesmen of God. Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Let me just take out a little bit and put it like this. God spake by the prophets. Do you see that? God spake by the prophets. The prophets were the spokesmen of God. They were sent by God with God's message for the people. Now, turn over a few more pages in the New Testament to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And this time, it's the last verse of that first chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The prophets were the spokesmen of God. What they spoke was prophecy. It was the word of God. But they only spake that word of prophecy when they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Well, you go down to the shore side. You stand at the seashore and you look out on a lovely calm day. And there's a sailing boat out on the sea. And it's not going very far. It's not moving because there's no wind. It's motionless. And then all of a sudden a great gust of wind is stirred up. And that wind fills the sail. And the sailing ship, the sailing boat begins to move along. That's the sense here. They were moved. They were like little vessels out on the sea. And they did not move unless the Holy Spirit moved them. They did not speak unless the Holy Spirit gave them what to say. They were the spokesmen of God. They were sent by the Lord, and they were under the supervision of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, when they were moved by the Holy Ghost, what they said was not their own words, not originating out of their own opinions or their own thoughts, but it was the word of God, the word of God. Acts chapter 3, verse 18, when they refer to the prophets, Peter, speaking to the Sanhedrin, he says here, he urges the people to repent of their sin, believe in Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What a statement! God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. That's what the Bible teaches. When we talk about prophets, we are talking about men who were sent by God. They were the spokesmen of God. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. God spake by their mouth. God used their mouth to speak to man. That's what a prophet is. Let me give you an illustration of it if you turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 7. Now you remember when the Lord met Moses at Sinai, the burning bush, and the Lord told Moses that he wanted him to go and bring the people out of Egypt, and Moses threw up all the excuses that he could. And one of the excuses was, I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. And so the Lord said to Moses, that's okay, Moses. I will give you a prophet. I will give you a spokesman who will speak instead of you. Now look at this. Exodus 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. So the Lord's painting the picture here. And here we have two men, two brothers, Moses and Aaron. And the Lord says, Moses, I'm making you like God. And your prophet is going to be Aaron. In other words, Aaron's going to be the spokesman. Moses will give the word to Aaron, and Aaron will speak the message to Pharaoh. Wasn't Moses that spoke audibly to Pharaoh, it was Aaron. Aaron was the prophet. Come back to chapter 4 of Exodus. Chapter 4 of Exodus in verse 10. Here's the time when Moses is throwing up the excuse. And he says in verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. The Lord was not pleased with what Moses was saying. And the Lord said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do, plural, what ye shall do, both of you. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. You see what the Lord is saying? Aaron's the prophet. And Moses gives him the word. Moses puts the word into the mouth of Aaron. And Aaron communicates it to Pharaoh. He's being a prophet. That's what a prophet is. He's the spokesman of God. And God put his word into the mouth of the prophet. And the prophet spoke to the people on behalf of God. When he was moved by the Holy Ghost. Now it's important to keep that in mind. He was only the spokesman of God when he was moved by the Holy Ghost. Were there times when prophets spoke when they were not moved by the Holy Ghost? Yes. Let me give you an illustration. 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's the time whenever David's upon the throne of Israel, and he has this burning desire to build the temple, the house of God. And he calls for Nathan, 2 Samuel 7. And he calls for Nathan. And verse 2, the king said unto Nathan the prophet. Nathan is a prophet. He's the spokesman of God. God puts his word into the mouth of Nathan. And Nathan comes to the people and he tells them what God has said. And so David calls for Nathan the prophet and he says, "See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Was he being the spokesman of God on that occasion? Well, let's read on. "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord.'" Thus saith the Lord. "Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle?" Verse 8, "Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts." There it is again. And the message that the Lord gave to him was this, that David would not build the house of the Lord, but instead his son Solomon would build his house. Verse 13, "He shall build an house for my name." This was the word of the Lord. Verse 17, "According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David." Now the point I want you to see is this. When David called Nathan the first time and told him what his desire was, Nathan said, "Go and do it." But it wasn't the word of the Lord. It was the opinion of Nathan, speaking as an ordinary man. He wasn't moved by the Holy Ghost. But then in the night season, the Lord came. And the Lord put his word into the mouth of Nathan. And Nathan then went and he told David what the Lord had said. He spoke unto David the word that the Lord had given him. And so we've got to make that careful distinction. The prophets only spake the word of God when they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now they received that word, that revelation, in different ways. And we read about that in Numbers chapter 12. Whenever Miriam had a bit of a problem with her brother Moses because he had married an Ethiopian woman. It's interesting how the focus of the problem changed. It wasn't really the Ethiopian woman, because it moved on to his authority as the man of God. Hath the Lord only spoken by Moses? Is Moses the only spokesman of the Lord? It wasn't the issue of the Ethiopian woman. That was really just a smokescreen to get at what was really niggling at Miriam. And she questions this. And the Lord's not pleased. And the Lord calls them out. And notice what the Lord said. This is a powerful statement. Moses is set apart from all the other prophets. Because the Lord says in verse 6, "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so." Moses received, as it were, face-to-face communication with God. Face-to-face revelation from the Lord. The similitude or the likeness of the Lord shall he behold. Moses was set apart, and yet Miriam took it upon herself to question Moses. And the Lord wasn't happy with it. The Lord says Moses is not like all the other prophets. Moses is different. Moses is on a level altogether higher than the other prophets. My servant Moses is not so. But in this rebuke of Miriam, the Lord identifies the ordinary means by which the Lord revealed his word to the prophets. There were different ways, visions and dreams. The vision has to do with what a person saw in their mind. A dream was a message that was impressed upon the heart when the person was sleeping. Remember what Paul says, Hebrews 1? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, in different ways, he used different ways to give his word to the prophets. They were given this revelation in different ways and by different means. And often that revelation contained prediction concerning future events. Not always. Not always. And that's where we need to be careful, because when people talk, or when reference is made to prophets and prophecy, almost invariably people think that has to do with foretelling. That has to do with predicting the future. No, that's an element of it. It's not the main ingredient. The word prophecy and the noun prophet has to do with foretelling, telling forth what God has said. And there were times, there certainly were elements of telling the future also. But think of Nathan. Again, when he comes to David, the Lord says through Nathan to David, David, you're not going to build. I don't want you to build. That was the will of God for David. But then the Lord also gave a predictive element. He said in the future his son Solomon would build the temple. And so there most certainly is this predictive element, but it's not exclusive to prophecy. We've got to keep that in mind. The other thing we've got to keep in mind is that not all prophecy, not all that was spoken by the prophets under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was recorded. Numbers chapter 11 gives us an incident in the wilderness when the Spirit of God came down upon the elders. And the Bible says they prophesied. Numbers 11, verse 24. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now the point to note there is that when they spoke in this way, delivering the word of the Lord, it was the spoken word, but it was not recorded. We do not know what those elders said under that gift of inspiration, under the control and supervision of the Holy Spirit. Not all that the prophets spoke was recorded, wasn't written. All that has been written by the prophets is inspired of God. It is the word of God. But not all that the prophets spoke when they were moved by the Holy Ghost was written. It was given for that particular time only. Now that brings us to the question then, what of New Testament prophets? What about New Testament prophets? Prophets in this New Testament dispensation? Well, the answer's similar. In fact, the answer's the same. They had the same function and the same purpose. There's no difference between the Greek word that's used in Ephesians 4:11 and the word that's used in Hebrews 1 verse 1. God spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the same word referring to Old Testament prophets. That's the very same word that's used in Ephesians 4 and 11 associated with the apostles. The very same word. indicating it's the same ministry, the same purpose, the same role. In fact, the Old Testament scriptures predicted that the spirit of prophecy would be present in the New Testament dispensation. Remember the prophecy of Joel? And it's quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost when he is explaining what was taking place. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. We'll not look at the reference in Joel. It's Joel 2 and verse 28 and 29. But let's look at the quotation here by Peter. Acts 2 and verse 17. He says, verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." What was a prophet? He was a spokesman sent by God. God put his word into the mouth of the prophet, and he spoke from God, infallible, the infallible word of God. And now Peter's quoting this, and he says, this is what Joel the prophet said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." That spirit of prophecy would continue in the New Testament dispensation. And what that indicates is that the mind of God, the revelation of God's truth, was not yet complete. There had to be more revelation given. A need for a divine revelation. And that's what Paul is emphasizing in Ephesians chapter 3. This is so important, this verse. What Paul says here is so important because he's saying that this unveiling of God's truth concerning the gospel, it was not fully known in the previous ages. Verse 5 of Ephesians 3, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed." Now that's, he's making here a comparison. I want you to see this. Don't get confused at this. He's not saying that it wasn't revealed full stop. What he's saying is this: it wasn't revealed to the same extent as it is now revealed in this age unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. In other words, in fact, the New Testament dispensation will have a far greater spirit of prophecy, a far greater revelation of truth than the previous generations. God will make known his truth. And so therefore, the revelation that was given to New Testament prophets is to be viewed as the same divinely inspired word, having the very same authority. The very same authority. Take, for instance, Acts chapter 21. Acts 21 and verse number 10. We've been looking at this in our Bible study on a Monday night, following the footsteps of Paul. And it's that time whenever he's told to go back to Jerusalem, and then eventually he'll go to Rome, and the Lord makes known what's going to happen, and his friends try to persuade him otherwise. The prophet Agabus came. You see that in verse 10, "As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet." There were prophets in the New Testament age, in the New Testament dispensation. What's a prophet? A spokesman from God. God puts his word into the mouth of the prophet. He speaks from God. Not his own opinion, not his own thoughts, but a direct word from God under divine inspiration, moved by the Holy Ghost. And it's not his word. And in this case, the prophet Agabus, when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost." Oh, do you see that? This is not the word of Agabus. This is not the opinion of Agabus. God has given him a revelation of his will, his truth, and he has put it into his mouth, and it's the Holy Ghost speaking by the mouth of Agabus. Do you see it? "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." This is the word of God. And it's put into the mouth of Agabus. It has the same inspiration, and it carries the same authority. Likewise, those prophets in the New Testament era received that revelation in various ways. Again, Acts 2, dreams and visions. Same thing is mentioned. The Lord gives them this word in various ways. And it was given a distinct place in those early days of the New Testament church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You see how the scripture, you've got to tie it all together. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 29. The apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Now, there was a lot of confusion in the church at Corinth. They were abusing the spiritual gifts, and there was chaos, and Paul has to write here and put that all in order. He says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And in the case of the prophets, this is how God communicated his word. At that time, there were prophets, spokesmen from God. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Lord gave them a word from himself. And here, Paul is setting out the order that is to be maintained in the church in reference to the exercising of this ministry. But that brings us to a final question, and it's this. If the New Testament prophets were just the same as Old Testament prophets, and God gave to them a much fuller revelation than in previous ages, and that ministry was exercised in the New Testament church, does the role, does the office of prophets still continue today? That's a very important question, and it has very serious implications. If it does continue, then it means that God is still giving further revelation. But what does the scripture teach? Well, by way of inference, the prophets belong to the foundational stage. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And so by way of inference, that would infer, that would suggest that having laid the foundation, their office, their purpose, their ministry has ceased. It's no longer with us. But we need something definite, not just simply by way of inference. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 8. In this chapter, Paul is showing the difference between spiritual graces and spiritual gifts. And he's saying that what you should seek after most of all are spiritual graces, not just the gifts. For he says in verse 8, "Charity," or love, "never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, what the apostle is doing here is this. He is saying there are different ways by which God imparts his revealed truth to his people. Prophecies, tongues, or by the word of knowledge. But Paul emphasizes that these various means are all partial. They're not complete. They don't give us the full picture, the full revelation. They're used by God at different times, and they only give us a limited part of the truth. And each time he's emphasizing that their purpose will one day pass away. It will cease. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The word perfect there means complete. In fact, it's used in chapter 14. It's interpreted there with the word man. In understanding, be man, he says. Just trying to put my finger on that particular verse. Number 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And if you have a margin Bible, the margin Bible will give you this alternative, be of full age or mature. Now that's the very same word that's used in chapter 13, verse 10, translated perfect. So let's change it. Let's put it like that. When that which is mature or complete is come, then those partial means, those means by which God gave partial knowledge or partial revelation of his truth, they shall be done away. They shall pass away. Prophecies shall fail. And in verse 8, the word fail does not mean, it does not mean those prophecies will fail to come to pass if they concern the future. What it means is, the word fail there means to be done away, to become redundant or unemployed, no longer necessary. And so Paul himself, as he writes this passage, he's saying that God has given, there's almost been an acceleration of this spirit and this gift of prophecy. There's this fullness of revelation that is being given by God to the New Testament prophets. And when that revelation is complete and full and mature, when it is sufficient, then the means by which God gave it shall pass away. So that Peter is able to write in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is very, very important. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 18. He's recalling the day when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, Peter, James, and John taken up, they saw the Lord transfigured in his glory, and they heard the audible voice of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. They saw and they heard. You might say, what an experience. What an experience. They saw and they heard. Verse 18, he says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And then he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Something that's more sure. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What could be better than seeing the visible glory of God in the face of Christ. What could be better than hearing the audible voice of God? Peter says, we have something more sure. What is it? Scriptures. Verse 20, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture, and the word Scripture means writing, that which has been written down. Now, there's no doubt it was a tremendous experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. But years afterwards, Peter may have forgotten. Peter may have struggled to remember what that glory was really like, and he may have forgotten some of the words that were said, because those experiences were present. They were in the present tense only. The actual experience did not continue. It was one off. But do you see, whenever Matthew and Luke were moved by the Holy Ghost to take that experience and put it down into written form, even though Peter may have forgotten what he saw and what he heard, he was able to open the book and read the record of that experience. And he said, that's why he said, this is more sure. Because I'm not resting on my memory of what I saw and what I heard on that one-off occasion. I have it in written form. And the written form abides in the church forever. And so therefore, that which is perfect, that which is complete and mature, is the full revelation that God has committed to the Scripture, to written form. This is the revealed Word of God. And now that it is complete, full, and sufficient, those other means, the means by which God gave partial revelation, they have ceased, they pass away. The office of the prophet is no longer needed. Why? Because we have all that God has said. This is the Word of God. I don't need a prophet today. I don't need a prophet today. I don't need a prophet to come and say, thus saith the Lord. I've already got it. This is the word of prophecy. This is the fruit of that prophetic ministry. This is the product of that prophetic office. We've already got the thus saith the Lord. Here it is in the Scriptures. The Scripture, the written word, is the fullness of divine revelation. And what a privilege it is, and what a blessing it is. Do you know, we are actually in a far greater position, a far superior position, than the believers who were able to sit down and listen to Peter or Paul in the flesh. We're in a far better position than they are, than they were. Because the truth was only being revealed, hadn't yet been fully revealed. Now we have got the fullness of God's revelation in the Scriptures. Why would we substitute that for anything else? Why would we replace this with anything else? This is the thus saith the Lord. This is the Word of God. This is God speaking unto us. We need a teaching ministry, and that follows in Ephesians 4 and 11. But we don't need the ministry of revelation anymore. The revelation is complete. What we need is help to understand what has been revealed. And that's the purpose of the teaching ministry, altogether different from that of the prophetic office and the office of the apostles. What a blessed possession this is. When we open this Bible, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God spake by the prophets. It's called the prophecy of Joel, or the prophecy of Daniel, or the prophecy of Jeremiah. But always remember, it's not the word of Daniel. It's not the word of Joel. It's not the word of Jeremiah. It's God speaking by the mouth of his holy prophets. This is God speaking to me and speaking to you. Can you have any greater privilege, any greater blessing? May the Lord deepen our love for his word in these days. Let's turn to 187, and we'll make this our prayer as we close. 187.